My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiver. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Gonna put one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it.
It's there. Hardman. Jackpot.
On the Odyssey app.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome into Football Sunday. We are slowly morphing into Football Sunday. We're like halfway there. We've got a college football back. We got NFL starting this week. So we are just about fully engulfed into Football Sunday. Joe Fisher, Rashad Taylor across the faux marble table, Jordan Schultz across the glass.
Football in Brasilia this week.
Yeah, that's all good. What's wrong with my microphone? Why is it so flaccid?
The microphone is having some ED problems over there.
Yeah, it's like it won't stay up.
Yep. I noticed that, what was it, 2 weeks ago when I was doing Hot Corner, is that the microphone is
a little flat.
Needs some, what'd she say before the show? Some Cialis.
Cialis, man, yeah. Let's get this thing a Blue Chew or something.
some Blue Chew. Some Hymns, you know.
Hey,
you
we could use a sponsor on the show. Yeah. Definitely put some Blue Chews.
Put a mic flag on the... on that one, you know, sponsored. This microphone brought to you by Viagra. Don't be like this microphone.
Well, you know, what's crazy is, you know, we used to live in a day where guys are really like private about telling people they took a Viagra or Cialis or something like that. Now, dudes are openly like, yep, about to pop this Blue Chew, this honey pack, and I'm about to be in the mix.
Like a rock!
Nobody really cares like that you have to use it anymore.
Oh, no, like a rock!
That's exactly what it is. You know, you ever use that Blue Chew? It's
me?
Amazing, bro.
I mean, no. I don't have...
I've dabbled in those, yeah.
I use that... What do they have at the gas stations?
Ginseng?
The horny goat weed?
the get it immediately, like whatever the package says?
I remember that seeing that at a Plaid Pantry when I was like 12 or something like that. I was like, what? Horny goat weed?
Yeah.
I'm like, what is that? Those are three words that I didn't think would belong together.
So when I was a I want to say like maybe eighth grade or freshman.
You took
like,
some horny goat weed?
I did not. Yeah. Well, it might have been. It was just ginseng. That was the thing like that you could do. I guess it helped you with your performance. I don't know why I was worried about it. I was 14, so I wasn't doing anything at
Slaying.
That point. You know, yeah,
just but, ready to go every yeah, night. Right,
every day. But if it does happen, I got this ginseng in my system, and we are ready to rock. You know, so but no, that's one. Shout out to the fellas, man. No need to be ashamed anymore.
I want to know, I'm going to pose this to the Vancouver Ford text line and the listeners out there. One, have you heard of horny goat weed? And two, has anybody out there ever taken it?
I mean, I've heard of horny goat weed, yes. Yeah. It's probably been in a lot of the supplements that, like, if you're taking a one a day or something out there for dudes, there's some out there that have, like, horny goat weed and ginseng. And yeah, because there's the certain one a days, then there's the all-encompassing one a days, then there's the performance one a days, you know what I mean?
It derives from the barrenwort plant. Contains chemicals that might help increase blood flow and improve sexual function.
All right, now we're just sounding like an
they said
commercial.
Might.
Well, it was sold at a Plaid Pantry, like, you know, like right near the checkout stand. And the labeling for it was not as enticing as you would think it is.
Apparently.
And they don't have the advertising money like Viagra or Cialis. Imagine seeing those ads. You're just watching TV, college football game, horny goat weed.
Well, actually, oh, yeah. I mean, it plays. It goes just, you know, perfectly with, you know,
two Rams just bashing their heads
it's
together.
It's actually not about the money anymore behind the drugs. I don't know if y'all knew this, but like Viagra now, the patent expired. So that's why we can all get it like super easily, you know, accessible. Like it used to be like you had to go pay a bunch and get it from a doctor like back in the day when it was invented. But now
I don't think Pfizer made their money.
Now, you know, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Pfizer made their money, so now everybody else can kind of make a dime off of it, too. So now you can have a, you know, discreet conversation on your phone, apparently, according to all these commercials, and get it sent right to you.
Apparently, horny goat weed is a traditional Chinese medicine used to treat high blood pressure and used with some women that are in menopause, which isn't super surprising because I think Viagra was created for high blood pressure.
It's like a blood dilator. Like, so it keeps your blood flowing. So it's a good, it's actually, I think it helps people work out too, is what I was reading one time.
Maybe I need to reach out to Horny Goat Weed for a show sponsorship or something on the fan.
Get a lifetime supply.
Dirt and Sprague Mail Sack brought to you by Horny Goat Weed. Boy, I can't think of a better sponsor for that.
That'll be great.
You lined it up perfectly.
Well, I felt like
hopefully
I was.
They're listening.
I felt like I was on horny goat weed all day yesterday because college football was on literally from 9 a.m. to 10:45.
Oh, yeah. The rest of the night.
Yeah. A solid 12 hours of college football on my TV. And how I knew it was really here, like, you know, I was watching the Clemson-Georgia game to start, but how I knew college football and football season was officially here was when I had some lemon pepper and barbecue wings come out of the air fryer. Because I got this little Ninja wood fire grill.
Ooh.
And it's multifunction. It can do grilling. It can do smoking. It can do baking. So I could bake something on there if I wanted to. But it also has an air fryer function. And I feel like I am borderline mastering chicken wings at this point with the air fryer.
I mean,
which I don't
things.
Know if that's exactly something that it's
no,
like
it
hard to do, but
I mean, it is like you can follow the recipe sometime and your wings still come out effed up, right?
Well,
and then you're angry and stuff like that. But if you get the right temp, the right time, the right seasonings, like, hey, man, it's a game changer.
The two most important factors I have found with chicken wings to get that good crispy skin. You got to get them as dry as possible.
Right.
You got to pat them down. You know, you got to towel them off beforehand. And then the second one is baking powder. If you use those two things, like I've done even just in the oven wings before, but you pat those babies, get them dry as possible, and then baking powder. And I'm sure there's some people listening out there that it's like, dude, those aren't like exactly like hot, like secrets.
Like, well, it might be news to somebody.
That's common sense right there, brother. But no, I was just, you know. My novice cooking mind for a while was just, you know, taking the wings out of the package, putting some like oil on them and then seasoning them how I liked and then throwing them on the grill or throwing them in the oven, however I did it. But Then I learned. I changed my ways. So I had some lemon pepper wings, and then
yes, please,
all day.
Oh my god!
I think that's the number one flavor now. Yeah,
lemon pepper. It's got to be up there, like the garlicky.
I mean,
like
garlic
that.
Parm is garlic is parm, always yeah.
That's
legit,
a solid one.
But man, lemon pepper, man, come on!
Actually, a fat guy hack here: the Buffalo Wild Wings, like the garlic pepper sauce that you can buy, you know, like in the package.
Legit.
Mix that with a little sour cream. And you've got the perfect dip for chips. It's so good.
Then I just bought,
like, I'm embarrassed at how good it actually is.
The lemon pepper, and then at the store I just bought like a pre-seasoned barbecue spice wings or something like that, and then I threw a little bit of like cayenne pepper on them, some paprika, and a little bit more seasoning to spice it up a little bit more. But yeah, once I saw that heaping pile of wings right in front of me with some Hidden Valley, baby.
Oh yeah,
it was officially game time.
You're a Hidden Valley guy.
I mean, I'm not really a ranch loyalist over here. You know, I feel like Hidden Valley is just, you know, it's a classic. You know, you can't go wrong. But I'm sure there are many other ranches that I could probably go with.
You know what? I'm only I've evolved. You know, I'm no longer a ranch with my wings.
I've
evolved to blue cheese, and I only use it with like hot wings, like, you know, so I don't really use it for my any other wings outside of hot.
Fire on the Mountain has really good blue cheese here in town. Mm-hmm. And then if you're at the store and you're looking for ranch, there's a powder mix next to the Hidden Valley powder mix called Uncle Dan's Southern Seasoning. Ooh. That is the ranch that we have at my house. It is amazing.
Okay.
And you got to get the I think you got to go with like the original Southern recipe. There's two different ones. And yeah, you just throw a packet of that in like a thing of sour cream, let it sit overnight. And that's every party that we have. That's on the table for food.
I want to say I used a packet of Uncle Dan's French onion
probably
a couple weeks back to just make a French onion dip.
Hell yeah, dude.
I mean, that want to talk about not hard at all. Not just your microphone, but just a tub of sour cream in a packet. That's all you need to make a dip. And
sour cream is a huge go-to. You can put that in really anything. You know, you guys should know I'm not a mayo guy.
Ditto.
I hate mayonnaise. You know, I wish I had one of the things.
You're trying to kill me.
Brother. I wish I had one of the watches from Undercover Brother where I can just
spray some hot sauce.
Spritz of hot sauce, you know, on something. but sour cream, you know, is something that comes in like super, super handy, man. So
I'm on wingaddicts.com. I feel like they might know what they're talking about, but they put the number one, you see, this is a cop out. They say the number one wing flavor is buffalo. I don't know about you. Buffalo on my wing flavor rankings, it's like a solid like 6 or 7. Like I could think of multiple flavors before just going for the pure buffalo.
I don't know. There's something classic about just the hot sauce kind of taste with the ranch or blue cheese. Like, man, I don't know if
those
everybody serves buffalo. Like, I mean, they might not have lemon pepper or garlic palm or Asian zing or whatever you want to call it, but everywhere that serves wings has buffalo. And typically if the wings come out and they're buffalo, nobody's mad.
Well, Joe, I think you might be like what do we call like kids that, you know, don't really know what existed before them nowadays? Like, it's kind of like the new age flavors of wings that like our generation's into. Like, buffalo is the standard, and yeah, I think you just kind of have to like bow.
It's
to
the Big
that.
Mac.
No, yeah. I get it. I get it. But for me, for this guy, I would prefer, like I said, I mean, give me lemon pepper, give me Caribbean jerk, give me just a regular barbecue.
Yeah,
soft
sweet
wing,
barbecue, right? Or a hot sweet. That's my yes, please.
There is this place. If any of you venture back down to Eugene, and it's not particularly close to the stadium. It's more so like.
So I won't be there on game days, is what you're saying.
To
get in town on game days and then trying to get to the stadium, you better just go straight to the stadium. Good
before
luck.
Or after, maybe. But it's on 13th, which is, it's like downtown Eugene, but definitely, I don't know, like 20 blocks or so from campus. But this place called Hot Mama's Wings.
Okay.
I mean, just the name alone, you're like, all right, they must be doing something right. Let me see if I can get the menu pulled up, because some of the wing flavors there, my God. Like, I think they have a maple bacon wing.
Oh.
Oh.
I like that.
Excuse me? Yes. Apparently, Register Guard, Reader's Choice, first place. How about that? Yeah, let me find these wing flavors, because I'm telling you, it is, they got game changers. So, of course, lemon pepper, dry rub, garlic, parmesan, chili, lime, cilantro.
Oh, I'll take that one.
Asian honey mustard, Thai peanut, Jamaican jerk dry rub, buffalo garlic. The buffalo garlic, I would prefer that versus just the classic buffalo. I would be going for that. Raspberry habanero.
There you go.
Inferno.
There you go.
With multiple exclamation marks after
now,
that.
Now, how are you with hot wings? Like, Inferno.
Oh, no. Dude, the hotter, the better.
Really?
Give me, like, I was saying to my girlfriend the other day, I was like, I haven't had something recently that was, like, overwhelmingly hot, where I'm like, oh, my God. Like, tearing up a little bit. Mark that. Spiced maple bacon, kamikaze. Like, I've been eating some pretty hot stuff lately, but I have yet to be tested recently. And I feel like it needs to happen. Like, well, there was.
I think we should do it. We should do it here on the show, but at the end of the show.
What?
You should see how hot, you know, how hot Joe can take it. Like, there's all these.
Hot can I get?
Yeah, you know.
There's already a YouTube show.
Have, like, you know, all those hot ones sausages at, like, World Market, which I'm a. You know, I get loyalty points and stuff from there.
Oh, you're a World Market
card-carrying
member.
I love World Market. It's one of my favorite stores. But yeah, let's get some of that hot sauce and let's see how Joe takes it.
I can take it, and I can take it good. Ooh. All right. All right. Well, let's get to football. Poll question. Let me get this pulled up here. Results from last week: Daniel Jones with the most pressure, most to prove in his conference this year. And then Deshaun Watson was also the winner in his respective division as far as most approved this season.
Two douches for very different reasons in their own rights.
One more of a douche, I would say.
I've seen Daniel Jones talk. Yes, obviously one's more of a
Have
douche.
Have you seen him in a private hotel room with a masseuse that he hired by himself?
No.
Thank God, because I don't know if anybody would want to see that.
Yeah, you know, I was a fly on the wall during the Ben Roethlisberger accusation. Whoa, when he Daniel pushed Jones, a woman into a bathroom.
You're here too?
What are you doing here?
That's weird. But Sunday, Sports Sunday poll question brought to you by Idaho Potato Commission. Good for them. What was the biggest revelation of the first Saturday of college football? Ducks O-line concerns, Beavs running game, Miami better than advertised, or the Clemson no-show? You can go ahead and vote on that on the 1080 The Fan Twitter page, X page, whatever you want to call it. There is one answer that is running away with this poll question, and we will get to that next year. And we start with the Oregon Ducks right here. Football Sunday, Joe Fisher, Rashad Taylor, Schultz across the glass, 1080 The Fan. Oregon Ducks, week one, you're playing Idaho, FCS opponent. As Rashad's doctor said, like, it's not that serious of a game.
You don't
this week.
Really need to go to that. Yeah. You know, I think you'll be okay.
You're
if
good.
You don't go this weekend.
You know, funny story. It was earlier in the week, I was talking with the general manager over at Shehalem Glen Golf Course and asked him, you know, I'm like, hey, what do you got planned for Labor Day weekend? And he goes, oh, I'm going to head down to Autzen and go to the game on Saturday because my wife and I are we're Vandals. We're Idaho Vandals. We both went to Idaho. And so we're gonna go support. And it was one of those like, well, you know, I would say I hope it's a good game, but we got to know how those week one games go, right? You know, like giving him the whole like, well, best of luck out there. Wow. That backfired quickly.
Real quick. Yeah, I wouldn't have told anybody.
I will say good for him because it was also his first Autzen Stadium experience as well. And he got to see his Idaho Vandals somehow take it into the fourth quarter.
They hung around.
Deep into the fourth quarter, losing by just 3 points. And my God, I don't smoke cigarettes, but last night that was definitely a game I considered. I could use a heater or two after this one. Because what the hell?
So
what the hell happened?
So like most of us here, I didn't get a chance to see the game just because it was not on television. And I thought I might have had the Pac-12, the Big Ten Network on Roku. And it is, but it ain't. Like what I saw was
it's
a bunch
Big
of
Ten
like,
network adjacent.
Yeah, it's like a bunch of like classic games and you know guys talking, but it wasn't the actual games that I was kind of looking for. So that was a little bit disappointing. Well, but
you were whether it was you or a famous quarterback for the Oregon Ducks, Joey Harrington, that you can hear every Friday right here on 1080 The Fan. Here's his tweet at 4:32. Mind you, the kickoff is 4:30. Wait. Why can't I watch the Duck game?
Like
so he realized in real time, what the hell? Yeah.
I thought that was a joke. Like, I thought maybe he had seen the news or
I
had
pray,
a conversation.
I pray that it was
a joke. I hope it was tongue-in-cheek. Like, wait a second. Like, kind of representing the fan out there that would
But just think about the fan that didn't know, right? Because
exactly.
my wife knew about the blackouts on the West Coast. So just think about the fans that didn't know. You're Jordan. You got all your Duck gear on right now. You got your wings ready. You got the homies are coming
got
over.
My Miller High Life.
You got
all
beers.
Iced up.
You told your friends, man, come on through, man. We're kicking it over here. We're gonna watch the first game of the season, and then turn on your TV, and you can't find it.
I just like I have the vision of Joey Harrington like at his home, getting ready all day. Maybe down in Eugene. I don't know where he was at yesterday, but just getting ready for the game. Sits down, plops down on the couch, and then he just starts going through Comcast. Channel after channel, trying to find it. Yeah, exactly. Like, all right, Ducks game. What channel was that on again? Okay, they said Big Ten Network. Where's the Big Ten Network?
Yeah,
where's the Big Ten Network?
Yeah, what's happening?
This will be my PSA to anybody out there that did miss the game because they had Comcast. Just get YouTube TV and thank me later. I've been rolling with YouTube TV for about 2 years now. I had a multi-view going at one point. It was Oregon Ducks. Top right, I want to say it was Michigan, Fresno State, bottom right, Texas A&M, Notre Dame, bottom left, and then in the top right, Hawaii versus UCLA.
Ooh.
One of those things is not like the other, but hey, that was the multi-view choice that I went with. Granted, it was definitely one of those where I had to end up just putting the Oregon game on by itself to really be like, all right, we need to lock in here. Because yesterday was not good, Bob. 24-14 final score for the Oregon Ducks over the Idaho Vandals. Just a messy, sloppy game on one side of the ball in particular. Really one unit of the game in particular. And that was the offensive line. That was the glaring difference in this game was the line of scrimmage. And that's what the poll question is saying right now. The overwhelming saying that the biggest revelation yesterday on the College Football Saturday out of the Ducks O-line, the Beavers running game, Miami better than advertised, or Clemson's no-show, Ducks offensive line concerns are running away with it. And it showed at multiple points yesterday, whether it was pre-snap penalties, whether it was tripping on your own player's feet on a 4th-and-1, which then led to the Ducks getting stopped, and then Idaho immediately scoring on the next play on a trick play. Whether it was the edges of the Idaho Vandals defense getting way too much pressure. There was multiple times in the second half where the Ducks were in the red zone, and there were tipped passes by an edge rusher or a defensive lineman that was getting way too far deep into the pocket, and Dylan Gabriel goes to make a pass and one of the linemen gets a hand on it. It's like, that is unacceptable. You lost the line of scrimmage battle yesterday. And I know that there are some injury concerns. You had, I believe, walk-on senior that was starting at center. They had to move over their original starting center to right guard. I'm spacing on the name, but it was just glaringly nerve-wracking as far as yesterday and the rest of the season goes. Like, the one good thing I'll say, get humbled early. You know, they'll be reading the press clippings, the tweets, the reactions and the thoughts, and to know that you got pushed around by an FCS school on the offensive front, like, hopefully that lights a fire in that room, because they're gonna have plenty to show in the film room as well, as far as like, guys, what what were we doing?
You know, they better buckle up. The Ducks better buckle up, because if this season is going to be, if yesterday's game was indicative to what the rest of the season is going to be, they're in trouble. Because guess what? They're going to play much better teams than Idaho as they get ready to move forward in this new Big Ten conference, the Big 18.
Well, they get the best team in Idaho next week in Boise State.
So, and exactly. And we know Boise State can be tricky. They can be a tough one for a lot of teams.
It's tricky for Oregon. Yeah. We've seen the history against them.
And is it at the Smurf Turf?
Oh no,
no.
Oh,
is it? No, it's a home game. It's a home game. I was about to say, that would be terrible.
Yeah, that Byron Hout memory.
I just saw a Ducks team that was kind of slow. I mean, in certain regards, or at least from the YouTube that I got a chance to see, because I couldn't actually watch the game, but I just see a team that was kind of slow. You know, it took a while for them. After that first touchdown, there was some lulls there, right? You know, it was a lot of three and outs. There was a lot of mistakes. There's a lot of Dylan Gabriel running for his life, you know, and stuff like that. So I think if that's going to be the case, like this is going to be a tough week for them. A really tough week going into this Boise State game, because your offensive line has to give your Heisman hopeful an opportunity to make some plays out there. And you saw, man, Tez Johnson, who is my favorite player to play with in college football.
Did you know he's Bo Nix's brother?
By blood?
We've been over this, that he was adopted.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, okay. We have.
If you watched a game last year, then they made sure to mention it.
Thankfully. Like, yeah, we don't have to hear about that one anymore.
Oh, it will happen.
Until he gets drafted by the Broncos.
Under 3.5 games that we get a mention of that.
So
I'm taking the under.
Yeah, I'm gonna take the under as well, man. But I don't know. I think this Ducks team, it looked a little slow. They really didn't put on a 7 in the first quarter, 7 in the second, don't score in the third, you know, really slow third, and you put up 10. You know, that's not the Ducks team that we're used to. And I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. You know, we're all used to, and it's been a minute, but 70 points a game, right? The Ducks just running over everybody, especially teams that were, let's just go ahead and say, inferior to them. Like, we're used to seeing the score, like, 42-7, you know, at the end of the first half. Like, and I think a lot of those days are gone, you know. And if you look around a lot of college football, unless you're, you know, Ohio State, a lot of those teams don't really put up those crazy, crazy Chip Kelly numbers that they used to. So some of these games are going to look ugly, especially if the offensive line is going to look like that. But that's something, you're right, Joe, that's something they got to figure out on the edges and everything before they get ready for Saturday's game against Boise State. Because, again, playing against Michigan and Ohio State and Illinois and all these teams that are, you know, usually they're front sevens and, you know, front four are usually pretty legit, you know, for the most part. So there's some kinks to work out, and it's the first game. So, you know, there is no preseason for college football, which kind of sucks. There should be at least a jamboree or something like that for college to let guys kind of, you know, get their legs underneath them and everything. But hey, this was their preseason game. They won it, and you know, now hope the regular season starts for them next week, hopefully.
And we need some horny goat weed in the Ducks locker room.
Put it in their Gatorade. Possibly. Put it in their Gatorade. Maybe to put a little pep in their step.
Yeah, I like that you refer to this as a preseason game, because I've always thought as the of the non-conference schedule as kind of the preseason. And, you know, I think you talk about fans expecting like a big score, like Oregon's opener against Portland State last year. What'd they win, like 81-7 or something like that? Gives you a lot of confidence about the high-flying offense that you heard about all summer. And with the move to the Big Ten, you heard everything being pumped up about this Oregon Duck team. Now, the defense, they stepped up. We can talk more about that. But
a lot of farts smelling down in Eugene, which I don't blame. But, again, good to get humbled early in the season rather than late.
Yeah, there's a little fart sound for you. But it is frustrating to see the offensive line, I think, that was also highly touted, multiple All-Americans coming in. And then you've got, like, before your first game even starts, Matthew Bedford's out. You talked about Laulu having to move over to guard.
Thank you, yeah.
And that is a really frustrating point, because this line is anchored, usually any offensive line, Will Ortner will tell you here on The Fan, by the center. The center is the leader, and everybody's kind of playing to him. So when you have Charlie Piggott having to step in at the last second, I don't think he personally was bad, but the line was off. I mean, yeah, Cornelius, two times, he's off lining behind the line, and he's literally being screamed at by Dan Lanning, you know, after it's happening, it happens again.
He's the one that gave up the sack that caused the fumble.
Exactly. It's just
he had
like
a couple times where he was letting that edge rusher get deep into the pocket.
Like, boneheaded mistakes by guys that have been there, been in the program with Dan Lanning for a while, and you wonder, why weren't you ready to play? And once again, all the hype coming into this season, I was pretty upset to see guys dancing around, you know, on the sidelines when they were maybe up by like three. And I think Kenyon Barner, former Duck running back, tweeted even. He's like,
why are we dancing?
What are you doing? Like, we aren't up by anything.
Well, that's what these kids do now. They dance.
Well, and I saw what you were talking about. Yeah. And that, like, there was like a caveat to it. Like, the two players that I saw, offensive linemen. Now, granted, one of them was, I think, like third or fourth string. Another one was a backup. But again, not a good look when the weakest unit of the day, the backups are there dancing to shout. And I'm like, dude, just
chill.
If I'm the coach,
team doesn't dance that.
If I'm the coach, I am showing that in the film room the next day. I'm like, what exactly were we so excited about and happy about?
Like, did you guys care more about dancing to shout than finding the mic? Because we need to identify the mic. And they couldn't pick up a blitz. They gave up 3 sacks in one game after giving up 5 sacks all of last season. So there's obviously a point to fix on the offensive line. Very frustrating. And once again, this was Idaho that you allowed this against. This isn't an SEC team. And you'll wonder, come Ohio State, come Michigan time here in the Big Ten, will Oregon be able to compete after that game? I mean, it's a flat-out no. Has me a little scared.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to completely crap on the Ducks, though, because they did get a win, right? And ultimately, outside of the offensive line, everything looked okay, right? Your receiving core looks strong. Your running game looks strong. Obviously, Dillon Gabriel, you know, missed only 8 passes and threw damn near 50 of them. So, like, ultimately, you mentioned, Jordan, the defense, you know, looked pretty strong. So, ultimately, you had a good game. I just think there are a lot of missed opportunities there for the Ducks. Lots of kind of... It was very hectic, I guess, in that pocket for Dillon Gabriel, and there's some things to work out, and I do believe that dancing is going to be on the in the film room, you know, this week for the offensive line, probably some extra drills, and you know, for them as well. But ultimately, you got the win. Everybody's, you know, what was it, Michigan 30-10. You know, so everybody isn't just blowing teams out.
And Michigan, I want to say, got 17 points in the fourth quarter. Ohio State was a little slow to start. But again, you had teams that, you know, Alabama 63-0, I believe.
Alabama usually
Texas 54-0 against Colorado State, who is an FBS school, mind you.
And everybody stops saying, oh, Idaho's a really good FBS school. They're going to be in the playoff. Yeah, I don't care. Oregon should still roll over them. There's no point even in bringing that up. This is Oregon. Full stop.
Yeah, it was much to be desired on the offensive end. I will say defense plays like that week in and week out, though, they're going to keep them in a lot of games. Defensive line, the edges were great for Oregon. Brandon Johnson had a pretty good game in the secondary. If he can keep it up, that will be to be, you know, determined. But they will get, I believe it's Jaleel Florence back for them in the secondary for the Oregon Ducks. He was not playing in this one. Also, keep in mind, Jeffrey Bassa ended up leaving the first quarter of this game as well.
Yeah, good point.
So the defense, I thought, played surprisingly well considering some of the elements, but absolute lockdown for the first chunk of that game. And yeah, if you take away a double flea flicker trick play,
which was it kind of looked like a forward pass, but yeah, it was
close, but
we'll write that one off as
initially, you know, me being biased, I was like, oh yeah, that was, yeah, he threw that forward. And then I look at it again, I'm like, that's too much to overturn it. And then their drive that they scored on the second, their second touchdown was solid drive. They got a good screenplay, chunk play. And that was the thing too, is like Idaho had some chunk plays, like multiple plays that went over 30 yards. That's what we miss on the Oregon offense too, was that those explosion plays, those 20 plus yard gainers, 30 plus yard gainers. I don't know if it was, you know, Gabriel just taking what the defense gave him and dinking and dunking his way to, you know, almost 400 yard game. But, That's what we would love to see in the Boise State next game, is this offense really open up and offensive line just having to step it up to give this game. I mean, they ran for 4.2 yards, the running backs yesterday, 4.2 yards a carry. They averaged 5.9 last year. So, I mean, that running the ball, giving Gabriel enough time, a protective pocket, the offensive line, it's going to be, they have something to prove, not just this week, but going forward.
And the main thing I kind of took away from at least what I saw is they were able to grind it out. Things weren't perfect, you mentioned, you know, but they were still able to grind out a win. And in this new version of the Big Ten, that's what they're going to need to do. You know, you're going to have to grind out those wins against Illinois. And I'm not looking at the schedule, but Iowa and all those teams that are, you know, just kind of smash mouth football, you know, type programs. And so I think this was a good learning lesson, you know, first game of the season as far as what to expect. And so, man, I do expect to see much better next week.
All right.
If I can watch the game.
We shall see. I think actually next week's game is on Peacock too. So best of luck.
Definitely have Peacock.
Got to get the cock. You got to get that locked and loaded. We talked about the Ducks. Let's go to the team up north in Corvallis. We had a little bit better Saturday. Beavs, big win against Idaho State. We get to that next here, Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan. But first, Schultzy, Sports Center update. Well, I definitely opened my mouth a little too soon yesterday. It was around, was it halfway through the second? And the Oregon State fans have been waving their little willies around all weekend saying, look at us, at least we can watch our team. And then I tweeted it out. And I was like, yeah, you probably don't want to because they were barely beating Idaho State 10-9.
Yeah, I took the, I think it was 12.5 at that point, Idaho State to cover. I took that line. I lost.
Oregon State ends up running away with it 38-15. And I say running because they ran for 355 yards, I believe. Total. Let's get the final number here. 362 yards. 58 rushing attempts, 362 yards. They only passed the ball 14 times, but they didn't need to because they have a dual-headed monster at running back, it seems.
Oh, man.
Hey, with Jam Griffin and Anthony Hankerson, who
Jam.
Just...
Jam!
If you played college football 25 at all this summer, like I signed with the Beavers in my Road to Glory program, then you would know.
He's
you would
legit.
Know that Oregon State's running game is still legit, even though they've got no Damian Martinez. Who's he?
Those corn Fred Hosses down in Corvallis. Lot of fields down there. Got their wheat. They got their fiber.
Do they talk like that in Corvallis?
I hope so. I really hope so. I want Corvallis to just act Southern. Even though it's just in Oregon, in between Eugene and Portland, two of the most liberal left-wing cities in America. Just please, let Corvallis just be the most Southern. You some bitch, why you think you're coming here?
Yeah, exactly.
You've been to Corvallis?
A couple times, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, you know, it's not I like, don't hey, mind Corvallis. Let's go to Corvallis.
I'll
you
say
know?
this
unless you're going there to party in college or go to a game.
This is going to piss you guys off, as, you know, Jordan's in all his Oregon colors and Joe's an alum.
Corvallis is the better college town.
I didn't say that. I will say it was more fun to party there sometime, though.
No, I think I agree with you. Yeah. I spent more time in Corvallis.
I'm just saying, like, anyways. I went to Western, so I was like only 20 minutes away from Corvallis. Like, all my friends and stuff were in Eugene, but hey, they were kicking it in Corvallis, and I wasn't mad at it.
I had a friend in high school. He started college a year early, so when it was like our senior year of high school, he was already down at Oregon State, and his brother was in a frat. And he invited me and a friend to come down for a Friday night and stay at his dorm and or at his like in his room at his frat, because they have like their sleeping quarters and then they have like their own room to like study in. And, you know, one of the other frat members, you know, it's like their just hangout room, but then they have like their bunk beds and their rooms to sleep in. Right. And boy, what an impression that left on 17-year-old Joe. That night down there in Corvallis.
Oh, I'm sure.
Must have had a good time.
I was...
you out, man.
Yeah, I was... my eyes were open as to what college was like at that point in time.
Yeah, Oregon State, shout out to...
so I'll give them a tip of the cap when it comes to the partying side. What's the Hawaiian place down there? Is it Local Boys?
Oh, I don't know. Sherry's? I don't know.
I'm trying to think of... They got the... Yeah, I think it's Local Boys.
I thought Sherry's was their only restaurant.
You know, they can do better on the Mac salad. I'll say that much. The Hawaiian Mac salad.
Not a big Mac salad guy, so I'll take your word for it.
But the Beavs, man, they got it together yesterday. If they can hang their hat on the running game, and granted, it is a Idaho State, but if they can do that every week and just run the ball, kill the clock, win the time of possession battle, And if their quarterback play can just improve throughout the year, you saw two quarterbacks.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
On the field for them yesterday, Javonte McCoy, which is the transfer from Idaho. And who said Idaho wasn't good? And Gabari Johnson, who only passed the ball 4 times. I mean, Javonte McCoy should be their starter.
Oh, he looked good.
I thought that, you know, when there was the whole leading up to the season quarterback battle, who's it going to be? McCoy? Is it going to be Gulbranson? Is Gabari Johnson going to be? And I'm like, dude, start the kid from Idaho.
It's not going to be Gulbranson.
Dude, start Javonte McCoy and just lock it in, because that dude, like, he was a stud at Idaho, and, you know, small sample size yesterday, 9 for 10, 114 yards, 1 touchdown. But he had his 1 touchdown was really nice, where he just dropped it in the bucket. The receiver who caught it is escaping me right now, but it was a very nice long pass play that had to leave Beaver fans very encouraged about what they can possibly do in the passing game this year.
David Wells Jr.
Thank you. Thank you. But it was, I even remember seeing the highlight at that point, because I was watching the other games, and it popped up on my Twitter feed, and I was like, it was a very nice play. But again, this game was won on the ground, so and props to the Beavs on that, because they just kept running the ball.
This season could potentially have been a blessing in disguise for the Beavs. Like, they were not even arguably, they were the surprise story of the Pac-12 last year, right? You know, nobody saw the Beavers coming out and playing as well as they actually did throughout the season. This season, outside of having Oregon on your schedule and then Boise State at the end of the year, the Beavs have an awesome opportunity to run through this schedule. If they can play anything like they played yesterday and keep the ball, if that two-headed monster, you know, is able to produce, I'm not even going to say half of, but, you know, even, you know, 3/4 of what they did yesterday, I think this Beavs team is in great shape as they get ready to move forward. Trent Bray has got them playing, so far, inspired football. You know, and again, it's Idaho State, so much like we were talking about with Oregon, it's against Idaho.
Again,
so
they took care of their business.
They did. They took care of, you know, they took care of what they need to take care of. But next week is San Diego State, and then they got Oregon, which is obviously the big test for them. But how sweet would it be for Beaver fans? And I'm knocking on some type of wood around here. There's not much here. But if they could go ahead and play spoiler to this Ducks team on the third game. I'm saying, considering the way we saw Oregon play yesterday.
I won't have it.
Just saying, man. We know that the Beavs play up for Oregon, and now that this game isn't at the end of the season where everybody's all beat up, and who knows? I'm just saying, who knows? So the Beavs have a great opportunity in front of them.
Erroneous on all counts.
Yeah, I'm just saying the Beavs have a great opportunity to take. If you look at their schedule, it's like
it's pretty,
bruh,
pretty cupcake,
it's pretty good. Right?
Minus you know? Their Super Bowl in Oregon. Yeah.
And that's it. You know, and then mind you, the worst part is having to play, and Oregon is at home. So they play them at Autzen. So,
and they play a lot of games themselves at home, the Beavers do. I feel like their travel's made a little bit easier because of this whole Mountain West, you know, Pac-2 hybrid thing.
How sweet would it be end of the season, the Beavers end up in the playoffs?
Oh, my God.
How crazy would that be?
Stop.
Like, come on, man. Look, that, Joe, look at this schedule. Tell me that this that
a little
is not
video games
plausible.
Talking there, but it's.
Tell me it's not plausible. They go, what, it, how many games?
It's not. It's not happening, Rashad. He's doing on-air counting.
They go 11-1.
No, it's not. Season. If they went an 11-1, it's not going to happen. They would have to go. They would have to beat Oregon and go 12-0. That's undebatable.
You think there's going to be a bunch of undefeated teams?
It's not about be. No, there's not going to be a bunch of undefeated teams. But now that there's a 12-team college football playoff, fair losses enough. In the season, you know, week 3 or 4 for a big team aren't going to matter as much as they did under the old system. Hey, so
just saying, anything can happen. And I'm pulling for the Beavs, man.
This is reminds me of when we were talking last week after the show, like when we play these like ridiculous scenarios in our heads that we know can't happen, like the Saints and Derek Carr, they win the Super Bowl. Like,
how great would that be?
That'd guys, be hilarious.
Great,
one.
How great would that you be?
Guys, Derek Carr finishes off his MVP season.
Like I said, I'm looking at the Oregon State schedule and I'm saying, why not them? Like, why couldn't they do it?
You guys sound like the people wearing all the 1992 Buffalo Bills Super Bowl champion shirts. You know, all the people that get sent the shirts that like are the wrong Super
There's
Bowl.
There's somebody
winner.
In some like, you know, some sovereign, you know, place that thinks that. The Bills are the greatest franchise.
Jim Kelly's the best.
Jim
ever.
Kelly, oh my gosh, man. How many? He's got 4 rings. What do you mean? That's crazy. I've actually looked online for those shirts.
But oh, they would
any
go for
shirts for
a
the
hell
for
of
losers
a lot if you could find them.
I just want one. I would love to wear like a, you know, a Patriots Super Bowl shirt from the first Giants championship.
I can't imagine living through those times as a Buffalo Bills fan. Just like you get like after the first year, like, man, I still think we got a good team. I think we can get back there and win it next year. You lose the second one. Like, oh, my God. All right. No way this happened
so
the third
close.
Time.
No. Third time's definitely the charm.
And then, do you think even after that third straight Super Bowl loss, they still have faith?
No.
Or do you think they were like, all right, there's no way we're going
to have to go play
this
game?
That's a broken fan base. Yeah.
I would love to see talk to the Buffalo Bill fans that were living during that time after the third Super Bowl. Like, I had just as much confidence in them in the fourth one as the first three. Yeah, that rough time.
Well, as a Mariners fan, I can appreciate delusion because, you know, I dream of a World Series that will never happen. So
we're up against it. So what I want to do in the next segment, since we are now officially in the full slate of college football season, have you seen some of the names of the college football players that are floating around?
They're always great.
Oh, they're fantastic. And I got a list of some of the best football names, football player names in college football this year. It is, it's so good. So good. Real life Key and Peele segment, essentially. We get to that next here. Football Sunday. Joe Fisher, Rashad Taylor, Schultzy, Denny the Fan. This is a day where I wish we had an extra hour. I mean,
oh, yeah.
So much college football.
That first day back from football, yeah.
And then we got, you know, some NFL to talk about in the next segment.
Boss man. What really, what is on at 11 o'clock?
I don't know, but.
NASCAR? Who here in Portland is listening to NASCAR?
I don't know. I think we only just do the Daytona.
Oh.
On air.
Who here in Portland is listening to the Daytona on the radio?
Hey, you son bitch. That's one of the best races in America.
So I mess with NASCAR, like just so we're clear.
Hey,
you know?
The greatest basketball player of all time messes with NASCAR. Okay, Michael Jordan.
I was gonna say LeBron.
He was in the pit. Oh, don't.
I'm gonna.
He was in the pits recently. I forget what. I think he owns a car.
Did he have huge
like
jeans on?
I hope so.
And cowboy boots and something.
I
like
hope
that.
So.
A fedora.
That's something I'd want to see. Fully cowboy Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan is the worst dresser in the history of dressers.
And worst facial hair choices of all time. I mean,
awful. The little Hitler stash. Yeah. Like, what are we doing, bro?
The only person to ever get away with that. I mean, imagine that in social media nowadays if he did that. If a Hanes commercial came out
the
in 2024 and Michael Jordan sitting there with a Hitler stash.
The worst is the Pepe Le Pew mustache.
Oh, just a very
thin.
Thin
like, come on, man. Yeah. Just cut it.
All right, you ready for some college football player names?
Let's hear it.
All right. So Rufio on the Vancouver Ford text line, he already brought up one of them. Quarterback for University of Louisiana Monroe, General Booty.
General Booty.
Yeah. Oh, General Booty.
Yep, yep.
So his real first name is General.
Yeah, that's what it says on the roster.
It's not his nickname.
General Booty. We're going to go to SMU for this one. Offensive lineman and perfect offensive lineman name, King Large.
I like it.
First name King, last name Large. Just.
General's full name is General Maximus Axel Booty.
That's
even better.
Amazing. I would want that whole thing on my jersey.
That'd be General Maximus Atticus? What was
Axel.
It?
Axel.
Axel?
Like Axel Foley?
Exactly. Jesus.
King Large, it would be even funnier if he was like a wide receiver or something like that. Or like a 5'6 scat back. Something like that.
And he is the nephew of former quarterback John David Booty. I was wondering that. They are related.
I have a name of a guy who doesn't play he's on the team, but doesn't get many minutes. His name is Memorable Factor.
Oh, Duke, right?
Yeah. What?
Memorable Factor.
Memorable Factor.
Good for and him. He is not a memorable factor of the team. He will not show up on the film. You do not need to remember Memorable Factor when you are prepping against Duke.
Well, he's a white running back, so that might be why.
Whoa!
Whoa. So is the first pick of the fantasy draft.
Yeah, and come on. Who other than Christian McCaffrey has succeeded at that? Like, we're talking
racist.
About Peyton Hillis?
Yes!
Peyton Hillis.
For like a season?
Mike Allstott?
Very, very unfrequently we're talking about here. Anybody
can I parlay that into Larry Zonka? Huh?
Yeah, back in like the 70s. Hey,
that's another one. There you go. That's four, so there you go.
Franco Harris, we'll add him to that list.
Was Franco Harris completely white? I don't know if he was.
No, I think, you're right. I think he was mixed. My bad. Yeah,
all right. Totally, continue with the names here. The Rice Owls, they got a player on the team. I don't know what position. Mo Billity. First name Mo.
That's great.
Last name Billity.
These families, man. Like, what are we drinking when we decide on these names? Like,
M-O-H Billity. Mobility.
Well, for my alma mater, UNLV, there's a guy named Tiger Shanks.
I'm scared already. Just Tiger. I don't even need to look at this guy. If imagine in like, that's a bully right there. That is a school bully. I'm looking at a picture of him.
Give me your lunch money. Give Swirly.
Shut up, nerd.
He's the type of guy to give swirlies to kids. Yeah, look at him.
We got, and this was also brought up on the text line by Rufio, Rocky Beers. I don't know if that's FIU or Northern Colorado, what school that is, but Rocky Beers. And if he goes to a Colorado school, even better. Because, Coors Light.
So
cold as the mountains. Rocky Beers.
So, this is not a cultural name. This is not something that in the black community most of us would be okay with, just so we're clear. But a guy named Darylis Clark from Darylis Clark.
You mean straight out of the Key and Peele segment? That's great.
That's awesome. What's your name, Darylis? You know how right now kids do this thing like, what's your street name? What's your street name, Darylis Clark?
Yeah.
What's your real name?
Little pull up on your block. What's your real name, Gerald?
Yeah, that's that's what all these names sound like.
I'm gonna pronounce this one way, but it's spelled another. So. Be my guest. I'm not even, for the sake of FCC violations, I'm not even going to say it. I'm just going to spell it.
Yeah, we know.
His first name is spelled S-H-I-T-T-A.
Shita.
Shite.
Shida?
Or Shite. Yeah. I like Shite.
Yeah. Scylla. So Shida Scylla. But again, S-H-I-T-T-A.
Huh. Hmm.
I'm not going to try it again.
Yeah, I don't think I want a violation today.
And I think this is my favorite by far. I believe for Central Arkansas, starting at defensive back, Dude Person.
I love it.
Oh, your parents suck, seem like
we tried
dude.
Very hard. Let's just name him Dude.
The Dude Abides.
And they both, here's the thing. Both parents looked at each other and said, that's a great idea.
Again.
Let's put that on the birth certificate.
This is what these are babies when they're named. So you're looking at your baby. You're like, this is the best day of my life. I have a look at this cute little baby. What am I going to name him?
Darylis.
Dude.
And then so Darylis and his homeboy, DeColdest, who plays for Nebraska. Yeah, DeColdis Crawford.
The realest Clark and DeColdis Crawford.
Yeah. That sounds like a tag team in WWE or something like that.
The realest, DeColdis.
Yeah.
There's someone named Mr. Clark. Like, his first name is Mr.
Stop.
So I think it was it Champ Bailey? I think it was, that named his kids like Sir and King and everything like that. So white people would have to, refer to them as Mr. or Sir or whatever.
And I can't imagine like naming your kid like King or like something like that.
Hold on, Joe. Like, watch yourself, man. Watch yourself, bud.
Better than Joe.
Yeah. Yeah. Real creative, bud.
Yeah. He's the fourth, too. Way real to creative bunch. Yeah. We didn't even have to think about it. Like, don't make this too hard on me. All right. Parker Titsworth out of Ohio.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love to see that.
Titsworth, get over here.
00.
Tits, come on.
Yeah.
Run harder. Yeah, and that's the thing. Coaches will sometimes abbreviate the last name. Like,
yep.
They would just refer to me as Fish sometimes out there. So
Of course. Fisher's too long to say.
Tits, come on. You're better than that.
Yeah.
Tits, you're huge on that.
And he gets the numbers 00.
Fat Watts. Just P-H-A-T. Fat Watts.
I like it.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about this one. Louisiana Tech. Defensive back.
Oh, Pig.
Pig Cage.
Yeah.
Pig. I hope the sideline just does that the entire time that he makes a big play.
The whole
stadium, dude.
That has to be a nickname. Like, I don't, there's no way.
I pray that none of these are nicknames.
I'm almost for sure that most of these are real names.
Let's go, Pig!
DeColdis.
See!
Or DeRealist has a little, somebody meant to pick these names. DeRealist is something that can't be a nickname that you just came up with.
DeRealist.
Yeah. Your mom named you DeRealist.
All right. For the sake of time, I'll breeze through some of these. We got Demon Clowney playing for Charlotte, the Charlotte Raiders.
Charlotte Raiders. Okay.
Jet Law. Just a pretty cool name,
Your name is Jet. You're in the mix.
Must get tons of chicks.
Yeah.
With a name like Jet Law.
Jet Jackson.
Memorable Factor, you mentioned him for Duke. Now, this one is a Key and Peele name, Octavius Oxendine.
Yep.
For Kentucky.
Parents love diction, clearly.
Octavius?
Yeah, if he has a lisp, it's even better.
Yeah,
gosh. Good thing he plays football.
We got Chief Borders over in Pitt. And then the last couple here, Major Burns for LSU.
Major Burns.
Ow. Need an ointment with that.
Yeah. I don't know. That means he's probably out there scorching fools out there on the field.
I hope.
Major Burns or something else Burns. Hopefully not.
No. It is college, though.
Tennessee, Squirrel White.
I saw that. Don't like the name Squirrel.
Yeah,
I feel like he's really small. Or more than likely, he's probably an offensive lineman.
The parents choosing the name Squirrel, they're right out on that.
He's number 3, so I don't think he's an offensive lineman.
That's college. He could be. Or he could be an edge rusher, frankly.
Yeah, can we get single number offensive lineman out there, please?
That'd be great. I'm with it.
Stretching out those numbers. Is that a 3 or an 8? What is that? You mentioned Tiger Shanks, and then Uber Ajungo for Wake Forest. This Uber is his first name. Spelt like the, car.
Like the car,
share,
car
right?
Yeah.
His teammate is named Lyft. How about that?
Is
really?
It really? No. I was about to say, what?
No. It's like L-Y-F-T.
Lyft Jenkins, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say that Dude Person is probably my favorite out of all of these. Or Pig Cage.
Memorable Factor is pretty good.
Pig Cage.
The coldest Crawford. I'm saying, like, I'm DeColdis. How good are you? I'm DeColdis, man. I love it. Parents said that's the
one.
Oh,
but I suck.
That's the one.
My name's DeColdis, but I am terrible.
If your name is DeColdis or DeRealist, you better be good at whatever sport you play.
Yeah.
You better be good.
All right. So King Large, Dude Person, and then Pig Cage. Those are my 3. That's my top 3 best names in college football.
DeRealist Clark, DeColdis Crawford, and Tiger Shanks.
Yeah. Every pick, every big play. Just imagine 65,000 strong at Louisiana Tech in that stadium.
That would sound weird.
I've always said that I wanted the Dolphins stadium. Like, whenever the Dolphins get a first down, just everybody in that stadium.
I'm glad they don't.
At the same time, just ear-piercingly loud.
Don't give anybody any ideas.
Oh, dude, imagine if you're an away team and you're just hearing just the Dolphins faithful just squeaking like Dolphins after a big play. It would drive you insane. It would
drive you nuts, man.
Yeah. It would probably drive the Dolphins players insane.
I'm not going to the games at all.
All right, hour number one wrapped up. Hour two, get into some NFL football. This is what I want to do. I want to do a brief NFC South synopsis, all right? Take our
How
team.
How brief?
Like a segment.
Okay.
Because I want to go in segment two. I want to choose some playoff teams. I want to choose some playoff teams. I want to choose Super Bowl winners, conference winners. I want to lock it in for this 2024-2025 season. Okay. You guys ready for that?
Let's do it.
All right. Hour number two, we go NFL heavy. NFC South breakdown. Our predictions for the year. And then might get to some more college football because there was plenty of it yesterday. Hour number two, Sports Sunday, Football Sunday, right here, 1080 The Fan.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Dude. I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skid Mark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games. What are you two up to?
Just hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
You think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he made playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey, want to do an interview with me?
No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
Hour number two. We are back. Joe Fisher, Rashad Taylor, Jordan Schultz with us as always. And let's just get right into it because we are up against the clock. NFL football starts this week. Oh, yeah.
So excited.
This is the musical version of Horny Goat Weed right here.
I was going to say, you don't need blue shoes. You just need this.
Let's go. Honey, I'm just not in the mood tonight. I don't know what it is.
Hold on.
Then the Bells play.
1 second.
Yeah.
Wait.
Don't something play that Marvin Gaye. Play the Bells.
Yeah, something happening here. Play any NFL theme music, and yeah. I think we'll be
as long as she gets that sweet, sweet loving, I don't think she cares what needs to be played.
NFC South, Atlanta Falcons. That's a good Falcon noise.
Is that what that was?
It sounded more like a pterodactyl, but okay.
I don't like that one.
Carolina Panthers. Grr.
Stop.
I don't know
New Orleans Saints. I guess that's it's like a priest, some Gregorian chants.
Okay.
And then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Arr. Yeah, very good. See?
Is that how we just start referring to these teams? After any time we say their name, we have to make a sound that aligns with them.
1080, the drinking game.
So, Buccaneers, they win the division last year. Much to our surprise, I thought they were going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL. Kudos to them, and especially Baker Mayfield. He gets another payday because of a great season that he had. Two teams in here are really the contenders. It is the Buccaneers, and it is the Falcons. When you pay Kirk Cousins that much money, when you fire your head coach and hire Raheem Morris, you are expecting to do play much better. Now, they lost their defensive coordinator, I believe. He went... Ah, God, it's escaping me to what team he went. Denver? I'll have to look that up. But the Falcons, they are projected to win this division. They should win this division. They have the best quarterback in this division. And if they... I expect at least a playoff berth. If the Bucs go ahead and they win this division again, or as me and Rashad ran through our imaginary scenario in our heads at last week, Derek Carr, they are your Super Bowl champs, 40 touchdowns in a season for him.
I think it's coming.
Yeah, I don't think so. And then the Panthers, Bryce Young, projected to be one of the worst teams in the league, but he does have a new offensive-minded head coach, and David Canales. Again, the Falcons, they should win this. They should be the team. They went 7-10 last year, even with their god-awful quarterback play and offensive play. And they had a great defense. Granted, they lost their defensive coordinator, but they bring in Raheem Morris, who is a defensive-minded head coach. I like the Falcons to win this division, but I think the Buccaneers will give them a run for their money. Maybe the Buccaneers come back down to earth, but what we saw from them last year, it's hard to say. Like, was it a flash in the pan? You know, was it an anomaly seeing the Buccaneers, what they did last year? Time will tell. But the Falcons, with their quarterback play, their offensive weapons, and not having, Arthur Blank calling plays anymore, thank God. Drake London should have a great year. He should be their number one receiver. Hopefully Kyle Pitts is able to finally break out and have a great season. He's been decent for them, but I feel like when you get taken as high as you do, was at fourth overall a couple years ago, that you expect him to have much more output. And then the running back Bijan Robinson going into their second year. They have the pieces. They have the offensive talent. They have the quarterback. They just got to put it together.
I mean, I would probably still lean more towards the Buccaneers to be that team this year. Baker Mayfield last year quietly had the best year of his career. Finally, for the first time in his career, got to play a whole 17 or a whole season. And so... threw almost 1,000 more yards than he's thrown before, had a career high in touchdowns. So, and then you look at the rest of their team, and I don't think Mike Evans is done being great yet.
It never seems like it.
It never seems like it, you know, right? And as soon as you kind of count him out, he just quietly has an 11-touchdown season or something like that. So I still like Chris Goodwin. Rashad White, you know, a great fantasy pickup for a lot of people this year. So I think there's a lot of things to like about this Tampa team. And I think Atlanta just kind of did themselves a favor. Everybody's, you know, kind of bashing the Michael Penix pick. But the truth is, you don't know if Kirkers is going to be able to make it through a whole season, especially coming off of Achilles' injury, especially after being, like, what, 37 years old? How old is Kirkers? You know, he's up there, right?
So, ooh, boy, I hope he's not 37.
30, 34, 35, you know, something like that. But...
36, damn, Rashad.
Yeah, so
just turned 36.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a lot to consider there. But if you're Atlanta, you got an amazing receiving core at this point, man. Bijan Robinson is somebody I think a lot of people expect something from. So I expect it to be like a two-man race between these two teams, and then just kind of, you know, a race for last place between the Saints and Carolina.
I will add in win totals here. They have the Panthers projected to have the tie for the second least wins, over under 5.5. They got the Saints and the Buccaneers both at 7.5 over under. And then the Falcons at 9.5, and they are the projected favorite in the odds makers as well. The Falcons anywhere between -140, -130. favorites. Buccaneers second. The Saints not too far behind. And then Panthers a distant fourth. For the Panthers, just get better. Just improve. Like, I don't like seeing players fail, especially when they seem like a good dude, good person. Seem like a dude person. But Bryce Young, I just hope that he is able to improve upon last year, because he was great at Alabama. Obviously, his smaller stature, smaller size. And you hope that David Canales is able to tap into some of his talent here, because you don't like seeing busts. And like I said, when it seems like a good character, good player, you hate it even more.
Yeah.
And also, I personally love it when a player essentially gets, after his first year, his rookie year, is just like the labels are put on them. Nope, bust, wrong pick. I understand C.J. Stroud had a great first year. And so, it's 1-0 C.J. Stroud in the lead. But there is still a lot of time for players to prove themselves. We saw this with Josh Allen. We see it happen quite often. I mean, Tua, even to an extent, right? A couple of years, people thought they were buzz. I mean, hell, we talked about how his head coach, Brian Flores, said he sucked, said he shouldn't even, be playing. And now look
Baker
at him.
Mayfield.
It's crazy what happens when a head coaching change and you get someone that actually believes in you and gives you that confidence, what can happen. So
we've seen it throughout history in NFL. Alex Smith finally getting a Harbaugh, at a point and looked comparable. Or then when he actually played in Kansas City, like all of a sudden, like a good-minded, offensive-minded coach can really change the fortunes of a young quarterback. I think it's always so unfortunate when these young quarterbacks, these top picks, go to defensive-minded head coaches. And in most cases, these head coaches don't really understand, man, how to use, these offensive weapons. So hopefully we'll see something new from the Carolina Panthers this year.
The Saints, there are some people projecting that Dennis Allen might be the first coach fired in this season. Really depends on what they're able to do offensively. Our imaginary scenario of Derek Carr throwing for 40 touchdowns and going to the Super Bowl.
It's going to happen.
No.
It's going to happen.
It's not. It's not. And that's why it's an imaginary scenario that's funny to play through your mind, because that's not happening. So the Saints, I put them... Hell, I could see them finishing last in this division, but they always have a really good defense, and that's the thing that's going to get them through games, is that they always seem to turn it up on defense. It's whether the Buccaneers are going to be able to put up a fight this year and push the Falcons for the top spot in the division, which I would love to see them happen again, but I do feel like last year was one of those just flash in the pan moments. And did they really make themselves a whole lot better to improve upon that season? I don't know if they did.
I mean, I don't know. Like I said, it starts with your quarterback play and defense. And Baker Mayfield had a great season last year. I think you can follow that up with having a equally as good, if not better, season this year, especially now that he knows the offense and knows his players. I think Derek Carr is going to throw 35 touchdowns this year. And the Saints are going to go to the playoff at some point. That's what I'm going to say.
At some point. Yeah. Whether it's this year or within the next 10.
Yeah. I mean, they might not roll into the playoffs, but I think they're going to get there this year. Mark it right here. You heard it on this day, the first of the month, Bone Thugs and Harmony. Derek Carr is going to lead his team to the playoffs.
Well, best of luck on that.
That's not true at all.
Yeah,
But no, I mean, if Alvin Kamara can stay healthy and stay on the field, like maybe you have a chance in this division. I don't love your receiving core. I don't love, most of your offense.
You got Chris Olave
was really probably the one person from that receiving core that's like, okay, he's a real, real threat. Not that everyone in the NFL isn't a threat, but you know what I mean. So I don't really expect a lot from the Saints. I expect them to compete for that bottom, that bottom two of the division. But I don't think it's going to be on the shoulders of Derek Carr. He's the quarterback, so he's going to get the blame, but I don't think he should this time.
So I think we should take this into the next segment and start laying down some division winners, some playoff predictions, some Super Bowl predictions, if you guys are down for that.
It's a sexy tease there, Joe.
I will get the Excel sheet ready. I will start putting in divisions and names, and we will do that next. We will choose the Super Bowl winner.
We have Excels on these students?
Well, it's Google Sheets.
Should I start Taysom Hill? I'm just kidding.
No.
Do you need a tight end?
That texture, I swear to God. It's going to probably show up before the end of the show, but damn him. All right, let's predict the NFL season.
We will predict the NFL Super Bowl winner. Somehow, the three of us. We might have different answers, but it will all be right. We do that next here, Football Sunday. I'll tell you the fan.
Reading some Young Thug lyrics in here. Rashad, big Young Thug fan.
Is not a big Young Thug fan. Young Thug is trash, but...
Jeffrey
is trash. His name would be Jeffrey. What's your street name?
Young Thug. What's your real name?
Jeffrey. Exactly.
All right. Hit me with the bells. Do the bells again, damn it. Where are my bells?
Give me a beer. Give me the bells.
NFL predictions.
All right, let's start this in the AFC.
I love going 6-0 on a recorded line.
Automatic lock. Call my number. First pick's free.
All right, actually, I lied. Let's go to NFC because that's how I started. We started with the NFC South. We were just talking about it. I'm going with the Falcons. Come on, baby. Lay the egg. Is that the expression that they use?
It should not be.
Lay the egg.
I think I'm gonna go with the Buccaneers.
You're going with the Bucs, huh?
I'm going with the Bucs, yeah.
Arr.
9 wins.
9-8. Wow.
I like the Falcons. I'm going with
With the Falcons as well.
Yeah, I know whatever tumultuous quarterback like drama. Sure, Kirk Cousins still has a couple of good years left in him. Regardless, they got Matthew Judon, so you know that rusher they were looking for on the defense. They supposedly acquired instead of drafting him. So yeah, I think they got 10 wins in him this season.
I want to say that one Jason Swigard says that Michael Penix is going to end up leading this team to the playoffs this year. That was his NFL hot take.
Oh my!
By week 9, he'll be the starter.
Scalding. Turn down the stove. Well, it's boiling over. It's simmering.
That means Kirk Cousins will be like in Arizona or something after Kyler Murray gets moved or goes down with injury.
NFC North, the king of the North. Will it be the Chicago Bears? Grr. The Detroit Lions? Rar. The Green Bay Packers, hand me that cheese, please. Or the Minnesota Vikings, blow the horn. Who you got? I'm going with the Lions. They are still the best team in this division. This is going to be one of the most interesting divisions, sans Vikings, because everybody seems to be dying on that team. But I'm going with the Lions, repeating as champions, biting kneecaps. Let's go, Grr.
I got to go with the Lions as well. You know, one game away from the Super Bowl. You know, I think Dan Campbell has his team playing better and better and better every single year. I think you got a lot of your, you know, key people coming back on offense and defense. I don't see any reason why the Lions wouldn't repeat.
Three names: Dan Campbell, Jared Goff, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Okay. Do I need to say more?
No. Jahmyr Gibbs. Why don't you throw him on there?
I only needed to say three, but yeah, add a fourth as well. They're so talented. No, yeah. I see 11, 12 wins. Yeah. Like I am all about Dan Campbell and the Lions. I think they're getting to the NFC Championship again.
Offensive line is great. Sam Laporta, amazing rookie season last year. That team is full of piss and vinegar. Definitely expect them to repeat as NFC North champs. The NFC East, my NFC East. And I am going with the Eagles because I have no more faith in my Cowboys. The Eagles should win this. They are the better team. They have more talent. And again, I just cannot believe that the Cowboys are going to have another 12-5 season after not really improving their team at all in the offseason, despite Jerry Jones saying all in. By the way, did you see his quote about being the general manager of the Cowboys?
Unfortunately, I did.
Yeah.
That's your boy.
Not
my boy.
That's
your boy.
I'll read it to you in the next segment because it's a doozy. It's a long one, and it's a doozy. Who you got, Rashad?
I don't know why. I tend to go with the team that showed the most, and the team that showed the most last year was the Dallas Cowboys. I know you don't really want to have a lot of faith in that team. They didn't really change much because I think for the most part they were in pretty good shape outside of Dak being down for a little bit last year. But Dak still had a career year, threw most touchdowns in the league. You know, it was a career high in touchdowns. You still got CeeDee Lamb. You still got a pretty good receiving core. Like, I don't see any reason why Dallas wouldn't. Although I think Saquon is a huge push for the Eagles because – obviously, now you really, really have to respect that run now. And with Jalen Hurts' ability to kind of roll out and everything, like, that could be a problem. But I think the Cowboys will still be a threat in the NFC East, and so I'm going to go ahead and say Dallas is going to win that division.
Well, there's the death kiss. All right, Jordan.
Yeah, I kind of hate it too, but I'm going to say the Dallas Cowboys. And then they're going to just go out in the first round of the playoffs. Like, maybe they'll slip in with 10-11 wins. I like Philadelphia. You talked about Saquon Barkley. I always try to, last 2-3 years, I'm like, I'm all over Devontae Smith on fantasy. So, like, I know he's going to put up touchdowns. Yeah, and I see Philadelphia doing well, but are they going to turn the ball over this season like they did last year? That's to be decided. I think because of that question, Dallas is going to run away with the division. But then, yeah, first round ouster.
Our NFC West, the Los Angeles Rams, the Arizona Cardinals, the 49ers, the Seahawks. I'll go first. The Cardinals are not going to win this division.
Oh, okay. Ooh, breaking news.
I think that the Seahawks are going to finish last. So therefore, it leaves me with either the Rams or 49ers, and I'm going with the 49ers. Until that team is just laden with injuries, knock on wood, that happens to a team. You don't want to see a great team just, you know, miss out on a good season because of injuries. But they have the best running back in the league, one of the best tight ends. They got Brandon Ayuk back this week, re-signing him to a deal, so he will be a 49er. They still got Deebo Samuel. I'm sure Trent Williams is next and will be on the team. They still got Fred Warner. The list goes on. 49ers all day.
I hate to say it, but yeah, the 49ers, man. Like, you talk about a team reaching the playoffs, not doing anything, Jordan, or at least losing the first round. We know the 49ers are going to be good enough to make it to at least the Super Bowl, but I don't think they'll win that either. So, but I have to say the 49ers still, they're the most talented team in the league. Let's just be real. Top to bottom, the 49ers are the most talented team in the NFL. They just can't get out of their own way. And so I still expect a lot from them, like every 49ers fan. So, yes, the 49ers are going to win this division, I'd say, probably with about 11 to 12 wins.
Yeah, I hate to say it too, but I got to put the 49ers at the top, even over my Rams. I know that they lost Arik Armstead, but they seemed to have done just fine replacing him. And they finally, I mean, they needed to clear up some cap space to finally pay Brandon Ayuk, right? And they're still going to have to pay Brock Purdy. But, yeah, 14 wins, yeah, probably.
All right, and our three wild card teams. These are my three wild card teams. I'm going to go Packers. I'm going to go Bears.
The Bears.
And this is a tough one because it's between three teams for me. It's either between the Rams, the Bucks, or the Cowboys. And I am going to go with the Rams, and that the Cowboys missed the playoffs this year. Dear God, save me.
Wait, what are we doing now?
Wild card teams.
Eagles, oh, Rams, teams. Packers.
Oh, okay. Man, from just the AFC, or NFC, right?
NFC.
I'm going to go Atlanta.
Makes sense, since you took the Bucks to win the division.
I'm going to go Atlanta. Is this one or two now? Yeah, it's two. Yeah. Three. How many wild card teams are there now?
Are you okay?
There's a grip of them now.
You dying over there?
So, yeah, I'm going to go. I'm definitely going to go Atlanta. I'm going to say the Packers. The Packers are you're a young, growing team. I think they really, really love, well, no pun intended, but Jordan Love, and he showed a lot last year. I think there are a lot of expectations for the Packers. So just getting back there, even to a wild card, I think is plenty.
And your third wild card team?
The Eagles. You know, if I'm picking Dallas to win that, I think the Eagles aren't going to be too far behind. If Dallas wins 11 games, I think the Eagles win, 10-9, somewhere in between there. Just enough to make that, to get them to the playoffs.
The Don, who are your three NFC teams?
Eagles, Rams, Packers, baby.
Eagles, Rams, Packers. All right.
The Bucks will regress a little.
Our NFC is locked in. We will take a break. We will go AFC, and then predict our AFC Championship, NFC Championship, and Super Bowl winners. Do that next. But first, Schultzy, take it away with the Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And
thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
All right, AFC time. Boy, good luck.
Man.
I have already started to look at the teams, and woof, there's someone missing in the playoffs, and they are going to be surely disappointed. But let's start with the AFC South. That is the Jaguars. Rawr. Colts, Titans.
We're the Titans.
Yeah, hi. I'm in Delaware.
I'm in Delaware.
Good job. Or the Texans. Giddy up. I'm going with the Jaguars. Bounce back year, 8-3 last season before an absolute collapse. Feel Trevor Lawrence is going to bounce back as well. I like that. I really feel that having a full season of Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne, the wide receiver core does leave a little bit to be desired, but I feel like this will be their bounce back year.
I am going to go with the Houston Texans. I really like what they were able to do last year. There was, you know, no rookie wall for CJ Stroud. And then when I look at their offense, like, man, they've got a great opportunity, especially with the addition of Stephon Diggs, you know, Joe Mixon, Diggs, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Dalton Schultz. Like, those are pretty good offensive weapons to be able to have in that NFC South, or excuse me, that AFC South. So I'm going to go ahead and say the Texans.
I have no disagreement with Rashad. I got to get me a Dalton Schultz jersey.
My God, that's why me and Jordan are simpatico.
It's like he basically said everything I was already going to say. So, yeah.
Whatever.
Sliding C.J. Strouds and Dalton Schultz's.
Whatever! AFC North, the Ravens, the Browns, the Bengals, the Steelers. I'm sticking with my Ravens, baby. I have one quarterback that can stay healthier than all the others. Ravens, year after year, are a threat. They get Derrick Henry. I feel like their receiving core is getting better. That defense is always vaunted, tough to play against. One of the best teams in the league last year, and I don't see why they would regress. Sticking with the Ravens, baby.
The Ravens came half away from going, you know, to the Super Bowl and just kind of couldn't get it done. But adding Derrick Henry, we talked about Saquon Barkley going to Philadelphia. This is times two with Derrick Henry. You already have the most mobile and probably the second most talented quarterback probably in the NFL, Lamar Jackson. Now you give him a weapon like Derrick Henry, and then, you throw in the receiving core that he already has, you throw in the defense that he already has. I think this Ravens team, I mean, this might be their year. This might be the Ravens year, so I'm saying the Ravens.
Lambjack, Super Bowl, anybody? Finally? No, they're going to win the division, obviously. I think it's going to be the Chiefs and Ravens kind of fighting with, like, Joe Burrow for quite a long time in the AFC. Maybe Justin Herbert will get up there, but I don't see the offense. At least with the weapons like those other teams.
AFC East, Bills, Dolphins,
this is easy.
Jets, Patriots. Rashad, I know you want to pick your Patriots.
I'm picking the Patriots.
but I'm going to go with the Dolphins this year. I'm going the Dolphins. They just missed out on winning the division last year. I think that mostly it's because the Bills, the offense, is going to take a step back, is why I feel that they are going to be the division winners, the Dolphins. Just the receiving core, a lot to be desired. They're going to have a good tight end combo. They still have Josh Allen. But I think this is the year that the Dolphins are finally able to push it over the top. I love their offense, obviously, with Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. They seem to have a flurry of running backs that want to run for 1,000 or receive for 1,000. Whether it's Raheem Mostert, Devon Achane, I believe Tua is going to have another great season. Their defense is getting healthier. I love that secondary. And I believe the Dolphins will win the AFC East.
Surprise. I'm going with the New York Jets.
Oh, God.
I'm saying, I don't know if you spent much time looking at that Jets schedule, but it's pretty favorable. First game of the season, obviously maybe not as favorable as they play the 49ers, but after that, man, it's a pretty winnable season. If Aaron Rodgers can stay healthy, Breece Hall, who is probably going to have a great season, you know, Garrett Wilson is probably going to have a great season. I like some of the weapons you have there. I like what they have on defense in certain areas, man. I don't see if Aaron Rodgers, if he's healthy, is maybe the second best quarterback in the division, if he's healthy. So I think I'm going to go with the New York Jets. That's my surprise pick of this day.
Dang, that's kind of a big one.
Yeah,
I think I'm going to throw up.
It hurts to say that, too, as a Pats fan. It hurts to say that, but I think I'm going to go with Aaron if he can stay healthy in the Jets.
I can't follow you on that one, bro. That's a little weird.
Is this going to be our first division? We all pick a separate team.
I want to lean the Bills, but like I'm a little concerned about a regression as well. But yeah, you know,
Patriots, I'll lock you in.
Just for argument's sake, I'll throw the Bills in there. We'll see who's right. Okay.
Woo, there we go.
I like Miami, but I actually do, after that big contract for Tua Tagovailoa, I do still have some concussion concerns. If that dude takes a big hit, what happens to Miami?
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, I don't think Skyler's going to come in and lead in the playoffs. He might, but...
Skyler Thompson. All right, AFC West on three. 1, 2, 3, Chiefs.
Kansas City.
Thanks for being in lockstep with me.
We could have just skipped this one. Okay. Like, I think
I literally wrote you guys in on that one.
Do I have to prognosticate on why I believe Travis Kelce is going to catch another 12 touchdowns this year?
Because Taylor's going to be there.
Exactly. Do I need to say more?
Wild card. I'm going with the Los Angeles Chargers, Jim Harbaugh effect. Thank God he got rid of Brandon Staley. I'm going with the Buffalo Bills. And I say that the Houston Texans are not going to be able to repeat on their success from last year. And the Cincinnati Bengals are your last wild card team. Again, someone's going to have to miss out. Who is that going to be? Is it going to be the Texans? Is it going to be the Bills, the Jets? Is it going to be the Bengals? The Browns were a playoff team last year. Who are your guys' three wildcard teams?
My three wildcard teams are going to be the Dolphins. Here's one. I really like Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville is going to come out of there. And then I think this might be Justin Herbert's year. I think this is finally the year that the Chargers do something. The Chargers make that... make that leap into the playoffs. So those are my three.
So the two teams that are not making the playoffs, according to Rashad, are the Bengals and the Bills.
I just think losing Diggs is a bigger issue than the Bills want to kind of, you know, lead on. But I thought that was huge. And if you look at their receiving core, it's definitely not as potent without a guy like Stephon Diggs.
Jordan.
I don't think the Jets are going to get in. I think Aaron Rodgers is either going to get injured again or they're just not going to be that great. So I'm leaving them out on my list. I like Justin Herbert. I want to say the Chargers, but I'm just not quite sure that it's going to be, you know, in Jim Harbaugh's first season, all roses. I'm going to go Cincinnati. I'm going to go Jacksonville, and I'm going to go Miami. I think those are going to be the three wild card teams from the AFC.
You know, I like it. I like it. We're up against the clock, but I don't care. We are going to the AFC Championship game. Who do we see in the AFC Championship game? It would kill me. I'd die laughing if Rashad said, like, the Bills or the Bengals. Like, you know what? I think one of those. It's like, they weren't even a playoff selection. I'm going to go with a rematch
Mm-hmm.
Chiefs Ravens in the AFC Championship game. And I'm going to say that this time
it counts. I'm just kidding.
it's like a pay-per-view.
It's personal.
it's the old ad for MLB All-Star Games back in like 2011. This time it counts.
Chiefs seats are still $5.
I think that's pretty easy.
Ravens over Chiefs. I'm saying the Ravens pull it off this year.
I think this is the Ravens Woo! Year. Ravens over Chiefs in the AFC Championship.
I'm going against you guys. I say Chiefs, third year in a row, getting to the Super Bowl.
Over?
The Ravens, of course.
Who
else could I put in that game?
Wow, we're all going same teams, yeah. But Rashad and I in lockstep with the Ravens. NFC Championship game. This is a toughie.
Not for me.
Who do you got?
Oddly enough, I'm going rematch again. I'm going 49ers.
Oh, my God.
49ers. I think Detroit is going to make it there this year. So
the matchup that we all wanted last year, yes, we're getting it this year.
I think so.
All right, Lions over 49ers. Lock it in. Jordan, who do you got?
I don't want to say the same thing, but they do seem to be like the two best teams. Although, I kind of wonder if something actually will happen in the San Francisco 49ers this year, if maybe they'll get a little bit more decimated with injury on the offensive side than they've been. Yes, they have four weapons, but what if a couple of them have some struggles? What if Brock Purdy, not even a bunch, but regresses just a little bit? I don't know if that's the difference between them getting to the NFC Championship game or not. So I'm going to say the Detroit Lions for sure. Ugh. V the...
Again, tough.
I'm going to go the Green Bay Packers. I think Jordan Love takes them there, but then the Lions are going to get them over the top into the Super Bowl.
Oh, rivalry game, too. That would be huge.
If that's even possible with the way that the seating lines up. I'm not even sure that would be possible. So
I'm going to say the Lions get back there. I like the idea of a Lions-Packers NFC Championship game. My God. But I'm going to say the Eagles get back. Bounce back year for the Eagles, showing last year the end of the season was an anomaly. Remember, they did start 10-1. And then just completely lost their mojo. But I am going to go Lions over the Eagles in the NFC Championship. So that means that my Super Bowl matchup, Rashad's Super Bowl matchup, Ravens versus Lions. I'm going Ravens. They pull it off finally.
I'm going Ravens, man. Lamar Jackson finally gets his ring and finally beats Patrick Mahomes. Like, vindicated.
Chiefs will be back, baby.
Chiefs three-peat, first time ever, according to Jordan Schultz.
I just don't think anybody can beat them right now. The vibes are, it's insane what they've got going on. This is a historic team. I wouldn't be surprised if they could do four straight.
For the sake of all our mentals, you know, I don't really mind the Chiefs as much as other people. Some people just absolutely hate them. But if they win it a third time in a row, I'm going to have to start putting that into question how I feel about them. It'll be impressive as hell, but still, for the love of God, parody. I'm always a fan of parody. And I'd love to see the Ravens and Lamar Jackson finally pull it off. But a Ravens-Lions, we missed out on it last year. God, please give that to me.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I'd love that. All right, we wrap things up next with a Jerry Jones out-of-his-mind quote. But what else is new? Sports Sunday, 10 of the fans. All right, let's send off our Sunday with some really good vibes, huh? Jerry Jones.
I need some good vibes after that Ducks game. Wait, never mind. This is not going to
be good. The best vibes. We're talking Jerry.
All right, let me try and find this full quote here, because it's a doozy, and I have to remember to censor myself a little bit too. Old man Jerry, he got very upset. Got very get off my porch. Let's see. All right. I've done it all. This is Jerry Jones. I've done it all.
That's the first strike.
So I have an inordinate amount of confidence that if anybody can figure out how to get this S done, I can figure out how to get it done. I've been there every which way from Sunday, and I have busted my ass a bunch. And there's nobody living that's out cutting and shooting that can't give you a bunch of times they busted their ass. So hell no. There's nobody that could effing come in here and do all the contracts and be a GM any better than I can. Plus, I'm where the buck stops. When it F's up, I gotta cover it. And so there, you can't give anybody enough. Can't give. There's nobody that can do it. I effing have hundreds of bad days. I'm emotional about it sometimes. Well, running this thing, that's who I want to make the last call. Now, when I can't effing think, when I'm old and I can't even do it, I would argue that you are old.
How old, bro?
But I'm a long way from not being able to do it, too. The reason I don't let somebody else be the GM is because I don't have anybody that I will let do it to actually do it right. And they're going to come have to come to me because I know where it is that you're going to have to pay for it.
So you know it's bad when even Stephen A. Smith goes, I don't know what Jerry Jones is talking about. He's just bloviating at this point. Man, Jerry Jones has lost his old ass mind. That's what it is. Like,
well,
I mean,
well, I think he proved that when we saw him putting salt on his McGriddle.
Listen, he needs to go ahead and just do the Joe Biden and step down. Like, I will no longer be the owner of this Cowboys team or the GM of this Cowboys team. Like, let somebody else that knows what they're doing. But apparently nobody knows how to do it better than Jerry Jones, which is why you haven't won a Super Bowl since Clinton was in office. Just saying.
What's Condoleezza Rice doing? Let her be the GM.
I'm saying, I guarantee she'd run it better than whatever Jerry's doing.
She knows football, apparently. Right?
Yeah, she was like a...
Wasn't she? Is she still on the CFP
like the
committee?
Board or something like that? Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
But wasn't there a team or someone actually considering her as like GM or like to be part like an athletic director or something like that? Or maybe those were just like unsubstantiated rumors going around?
That, I mean, I don't know. I think there could be
Condoleezza Rice.
I think we're not far off from a female GM. I think it'll be sooner than later that we have
it happened
a
recently
GM.
In baseball. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kim Ng. Yeah. The Marlins, I believe, for a year or two. But that organization is dysfunctional, so she had to leave.
Condoleezza Rice is actually part of the Denver Broncos ownership group as of a couple of years ago. Did not know that.
There you go, Condoleezza.
I'm not even going to say the Clayton Bigsby joke. Or
Condoleezza Rice.
I played golf with someone the other day named Clayton, and I was like, how can I remember his name? I was like, oh!
Bigsby.
Clayton Bigsby. Black white supremacist, of course.
If you haven't seen it, go Google it. It's there. It's fun.
But what you will see is NFL football this week.
Can't wait. Here we are. We made it, fellas.
Starts on Thursday. What's the Thursday game? Should we know that?
49ers, Jets.
That's Monday night.
Is that Monday night? Or who's the Thursday night? Is it?
We're just crushing it. It's Ravens, Chiefs, AFC rematch. Ravens, Chiefs, and then Packers, Eagles is the Brazil game on Friday.
There we go. Okay. Yeah.
Don't wear green in that part of Brazil, apparently.
Really?
It's soccer club stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, apparently the rivals in that city.
No one even watches soccer.
Whoa! Global game. All right, we got to go. But we will catch you next Sunday before NFL football. Cannot believe it. We made it, baby. We made it.
We're here, fellas. We did it.
For Jordan Schultz, thank you as always.
Appreciate you guys. Love you all.
Appreciate you. For Rashad Taylor, I'm Joe Fisher. Thank you for listening to another Sports/Football Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan. Peace.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.